get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm out the
Greek. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club
with DJ Envy, the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Ladies, hold on to your panties.
Oh, man. Maxwell!
Maxwell is here.
What's up, sir?
I'm trying, man. What's going on?
No, I'm glad you're here because I saw... You do Snapchat, Maxwell?
Maxwell Snapchat.
Go ahead, post it. You can't save it because you're going to be thinking about it the whole interview.
I just messed up my snap. That was a really good snap.
And you just erased it?
Yo, we out here. Maxwell.
You know Maxwell.
I'm trying. I'm doing
Breakfast
my best.
Club.
Okay, I know cool. Your DMs be popping.
Actually, yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they definitely pop. Yeah, you know, Snapchat me that, you know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting world, though, because I'm 42, so it's like I can't imagine what it would be like to be a 14-year-old with all of the social media the way it's going down.
Why haven't you connected with the people in so long, man? 7 years?
7 years, right? That's a long time.
Did you even realize that?
I don't. I got to tell you, I get anxiety about just trying to meet the challenge of what I did before, and at the same time I don't want to play myself and try to look like I'm trying to be in the moment with all the kids
doing a record with Future.
Well, yeah. No, I don't get it twisted. I know and love all of those records. Like
right.
I listen to everything. I mean, I listen to some really dark, raunchy, trap, like all of that. But
what are you feeling right now?
Definitely, you know, Yo Gotti. Definitely. Travis Scott. I mean, you know, I be in the club, so I know what these songs are, and I can sing with them. But I always have to be really concerned about the brand and like what I've done, you know, starting in '96, and the fact that like my music is what you go home to after you've been where you've been, and hopefully it's with your family. Hopefully it's what you do on Sunday mornings when you're cooking. Mm-hmm. You get married to it. You having kids to it. Those types of things. So I've had to think about those issues as I see the ever-changing situation out there in the music world.
Now, you talked about the pressure. Now, is it a lot of pressure? Because you've always been, I say, left. Like, you never went with trends. I mean, from your first album to your videos.
Yeah.
Is there pressure staying different and staying in that lane and staying and being as big as those other songs and other albums?
Yeah, for sure, no doubt. I'm not gonna lie to you about that. But that's part of the fun, you know? The part of the challenge of putting something together is saying to yourself, well, how can I maintain relevancy but still be, this is always the greatest thing that I want, is timelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people come and go. There are certain rules to the game about how you do that. And I think that if you stay true to the basics, you know, of what we're trying to exemplify, which is I'm not too detail oriented about shoes and cars. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm just kind of a, you know, I try to talk about the bigger things in terms of just like, you know, heartbreak, pain, betrayal, wanting to get somebody back for hurting you, not feeling like you're good enough. Those basic things are what we always feel no matter what the watch is that weekend, no matter what the sneaker is,
right.
No matter what the new car is, whatever it is, those are the things that we are always connected by.
How did you handle the fame when it came to these women, man? Because you're fresh out, making all this great R&B music. I'm sure girls was throwing it at you 100 miles per hour.
But not only that, the types, because he didn't had, if you think about it, he had quote-unquote earthy women.
Earthy
models.
What does earthy mean, though?
Earthy is, you
just
know.
Just clarify.
Okay, this is the thing.
Does that mean big?
No. But you have big women that you chose to.
I'm good with big.
The ones that shave when they want to, wear onks.
Right, that's cool.
You have those. You have models.
Oils.
It's so many
the Monique-type chicks.
Exactly.
I feel you. Well, look, I just think everything is beautiful. And the weirdest thing for me is, like, when I look out into the audience, because there'd be bad ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the one that is the shyest, the one that maybe feels like, you know, I need to, like, you know, lose a few here, lose a few there. That's usually the one I focus right on because I feel like
I was a predator. You pick on the insecure ones? Jesus Christ, Maxwell.
I just want to make them feel good.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, that's my job on stage. Mm-hmm. I just want to make you feel good, and everyone's gorgeous, everyone's sexy. But, you know, for me, I'm kind of a brain person, so it's like I think that the situations that sort of like will come to me on a personal level,
because
I will be more mental. I'm 42, so it's like beauty. I understand beauty. Beauty is amazing. But when you wake up with someone after 10 years, you don't even remember that beauty part of it. You just know that you have a friend. You just know that, you know, you got somebody that's holding you down. Hopefully, like with my my friend and manager, John, you have someone who's raising your kids. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, the day in and the day out of that, like all that stuff fades, you know? So
you have kids?
No, not yet.
Oh, you said raising your kid. I thought you had some kids. I said, wow.
What you waiting
on? Maybe I do. I don't know.
What you waiting on to let some of that legendary sperm go, man?
Well, you know what? I have this new... Actually, you know, it's interesting that you should bring this up, sir.
The legendary sperm.
I have a marketing plan. Mm-hmm. Instead of the albums, it'll be sperm. So I'm just going to market the sperm.
You want to get pregnant by Maxwell, buy my new album.
Buy my new album.
Exactly.
Right there.
No. That'll work. I'm just saying, it's a new plan. I might put a single with it.
Okay.
I might have a song to come out because usually the music kind of does that. So I figured let's just cut to the chase.
Cut to the chase.
Okay. And just, you know.
You're going to have men and women on that album.
I hope so, man.
All right, keep it locked. We got more with Maxwell when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Happy holidays.
Wishing you and your family the very best this holiday season from all of us here at The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got Maxwell still in the building.
Like, I ain't gonna front. I've been to one of your shows, and I've been to two of your shows. And my wife likes to go to your shows.
Okay.
I went with my wife now, okay. But I went when she was my girl and stuff. And I realized I ain't going to no more Maxwell show. Because these shows ain't for men at all. It's just a bunch of screaming women. Look, he ain't thinking about us.
My wife goes with her friend.
She's hot and bothered.
Make me feel all funny.
Yeah, okay. Go there, get excited, and bring your ass home.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I've been with my wife one time, and I felt a little funny because everybody's screaming. I'm sitting in the corner like a sucker. So I'm like, you know what? You bring your girl for next time.
When he did Fortunate, I went to sleep. Because I was like, it's like sitting by your girl while she watching Scandal. She ain't paying you no attention. Nope. None.
It's basically like when you guys are watching the basketball game or
right.
the football
yeah.
game. So this is like their revenge on you, basically.
That is a fact.
I am the revenge of all those times. But no.
Mad pelvic thrust. Mad pelvic thrust. I'm like, if he thrusts one more time.
Hey, man, that ticket is expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to put work in, but I'm just, look, at the end of the day, you get to take him home.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you get to get situations that you probably never imagined would happen. I'm just, I can't believe it's 20 years later, guys. That's all I got to say. I'm just, and I'm so happy that I'm kicking it with you because I hear you guys in the morning. You guys are funny.
Appreciate it.
You're real people. You know, you're in situations sometimes because you got to yeah. speak about things mm-hmm. and whatever. But, you know, I just appreciate all the support throughout the years. And I got you on those dance records on this new album.
Okay.
How do you feel about the term neo-soul? Because people always give you credit for being the star of that.
I can't say that because D'Angelo was released in 95.
Mm.
I have to admit, with great respect to him, that he, when he was set off, it really made everybody at the label really understand. Because I was already done with my album. I was just sitting on the sidelines. I was on the bench. So, you know, I give credit to D for being the person to sort of really get my record off the shelf.
Right.
And then I give a lot of credit to the radio stations that just, they played it without an understanding what this was
what
about. Because,
right?
You know, I looked crazy. You know, I was big old hair and everything. And, you know, having all the weird West Indian type of thing, which that's not atypical, really, mm-hmm. for an R&B person. Usually they're from the South. Usually they're like with D'Angelo, his story is so perfect. Like, he's from Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. He played in the church. You know, like, my dad's from Puerto Rico. My mom's from Haiti. Like, I'm like, first generation from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't feel black enough, really. So for me, it was like, man, I hope my people like this music as much as I love them. And, you know, 20 years later, it's just nice to know that I was.
I always wondered why you didn't do many features. Like, there's pretty much no Maxwell features.
Yeah. You know, well, I mean, look, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody because there's a lot of people out there that I like. But a lot of my choices are kind of like family type choices. Like, Nas was signed, released 95.
Mm-hmm.
I was there 96.
So y'all kind of grew up together in the
business. Yeah, you know, yeah. I was shocked that he even liked my music because, you know, he's Nas, he's Miss Hip Hop, my stuff is all smooth. And we developed a friendship and, you know, we basically worked on something once on one of his records, Street Kings. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we just did the Barkley thing together. And, you know, we have more plans to do more business stuff together because we just get on. And then Alicia Keys, who I knew at 15 at Columbia when she was signed there, she was kind of like my special guest on her first album. So I know her, I know Swizz.
I thought you were going to do a joint with Jay-Z and JD at one time, because during the Money in the Thing video, when he's sitting there, they're playing it in the background. I'm like, oh, this is here it goes.
Oh my God, that's my next move. I mean, you know, if Jay is listening, because we're friends and I see him all the time and I know his wife and
I've heard of his wife.
Yeah, his wife is his wife is cool. I'm from Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn. You know, it'd be amazing. I think he is the Frank Sinatra of hip hop because all of his beats,
absolutely.
He never plays himself.
Mm-hmm. Never.
I mean, literally. And the craziest thing is, when Reasonable Doubt came out, he always just chooses like the classic things, and mm-hmm. you can listen to all those records forever, and that's rare, man. Like, people don't understand it's so much harder to make hip hop classic mm-hmm. because there's so many ways that you could really play yourself with like all the new trends and the mm-hmm. new things that people do with vocoder and whatever and blah blah blah.
You could dress like R. Kelly. R. Kelly still dressed like he 18.
Well, you see, I can't say nothing bad about him. I mean, Fortunate, I never sing anybody's records. And Fortunate, when I heard it, it wasn't actually the first song, but when I heard it, I was like, because you just got to pay respect to him, because that guy can just, I mean, he could just pee out a song, you know, like,
whoa, great, Maxwell, yes, he could have said, yes, Maxwell, yes, nobody even had to set you up for that one.
Man.
That was great.
I was gonna say,
out of all the bodily fluids you could have said.
Oh God!
You say pee out.
Oh God! Please, Mr. Kelly, please don't.
Yes, Maxwell. Don't. Yes.
I didn't mean to do that. I was gonna say something else, but I didn't want to say that because it's a curse.
The universe made you say what you needed to say.
Man. Well, there you have it. It's Maxwell. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. One of our favorite people up here today.
Young Dro!
Young Dro!
What's good, man?
You making up for lost time because you was locked up?
How you gonna just start it off like that? How you doing, Angela?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I've been cool, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but I just got out.
How everything, my brother, Dro? Good, man.
And Young Dro shot us out on his mixtape and everything.
Yeah, he did.
Breakfast Club.
Sure did, man.
Sure
come
did.
On, listen. Not love. I had got in trouble at a college, but it wasn't my fault this time. I was totally innocent. Well, everybody in jail laughed at me when I said that. I was like, I didn't do it. They bust out laughing, but I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Like, we pulled up on the set. The cops, they let us in. They, you know, they walked me to the stage or the room or whatever, and I changed and went on the stage and performed.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm performing. You know, you seen the Juice movie?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Dude come
yeah,
in,
when
like,
they
you,
walk in, yeah, get
I'm like, me? Like, yeah, right now. So I come off the stage. We walk outside. They got the car surrounded. My man Spody walk up to me like, yo, bro, it's a trip in the car. It's like a tool in the car. I'm like, all right. We know who that is. You know what I mean? So they asked me. They was like, this your gun? I'm like, I really don't know about a gun. All these years we've been performing, I don't tow guns to shows. That's not what I do. So he was like, it's a gun in the car. I was like, it's somebody's in the car. I'm not the pointer. You feel me? Man, we just didn't want to.
Tell on the person. Like,
yeah, we don't do that. Don't make me point at you.
But see, I hate people like that in your crew. If that's your gun, man, say that's your gun.
Unless this would have been it for
no,
him.
No, man.
So the cop was cool. He was like, yo, y'all just get it together because, you know, one of y'all taking this.
I'm going to give y'all a moment.
Yeah, that man gave us a moment. Took like 10, 15 minutes. He was like, F that. Put the cuffs on Joe. I was like, for real? He put me in the back of the car, man. I'm looking out the back of the car like, man, my mama gonna get y'all. Boy, wait, I tell my mama this, bro. You can't even eat on my house no more. There's no more collard green for you, Spody. You can't eat no more. But we go to jail, bro. We sitting. They found weed, you know what I mean? Stuff like, you know, hip-hop stuff.
Yeah.
What hip-hop stuff?
Weed.
Who told you?
You said it's my cops.
Yeah, what Charlamagne just said. But that's like
recreational.
It wasn't even that much stuff in
there. Yeah.
You know, the weed was less than an ounce. I took initiative to say, you know, since we all in here, let's just go ahead and split the charges up, because I'm from the project, you know. Hey, man, look.
I take the weed.
Yeah, you take that.
You gotta talk to a lawyer before you start splitting
the
charges.
Because we don't want to talk to no lawyer, because we could just make bond, and we'll deal with that later. Mm-hmm. But for now, all of us has the same charge.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel me? Mm-hmm. So the lawyer gonna say, what you gonna take? You feel me? But you gotta have this worked out. We 50 steps behind. Man, the man down there, is he done went into a phase. He's like, yo, I got a career. I'm like, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah,
yeah, my boy Spody. Like, I'm like, bro, come on.
But that's still your boy, Spody.
Spody, the one, yeah, my boy, you know. Well, that was my partner. You know, I guess he wasn't for me because he turned the story around and was like, they're just saying the gun is mine because of who Dro is.
No,
it's his gun.
Man.
He does. He has a record.
No, he
has, you, man, I'm not like, bruh.
No.
We cuffed, like, from the waist down. I'm trying to slide so I can headbutt him, you know what I mean? And it, when, you know what I mean? I'm like, bro, you know I'm going to get you, bro. You feel me? But we end up doing, like, 35 days, like, so it's been a crazy.
All y'all had to do it?
Yeah, we just sitting, and we're in Bullock County. It's slow. The courtroom is about this big, the size of this room. So the people's in there got 30, 40 years, getting 30 and 40, like, because it was like a town that had like surrounding states, so everybody was a flight risk. They don't give buns and set bails and stuff like that too often, 2-3 times a year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so really, we really got, you know, we had to pay like a lot of money for lawyers. And the Migos had went down there before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess they whatever they did, but it was like, you know the Migos?
Boy,
I was like, yeah. Quay, they was like, yeah, you better ask the Migos what we did to them. I was like, I honestly don't know what you're talking about. It was messed up. So we sat down there 35 days. The last day we sat down there, dude was sitting in there. We was going to court. I looked. I was like, bro, you're not going to take the charge? He was like, bro, ain't have no gun, bro.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it,
like,
bro.
Don't lie to me.
We rolled down here together, my boy. Like, cool. That was, and he was like, yeah, man. So they moved the boy out the room. I feel for my life from Dro. I'm like, bro, I hired you to come on the road to open up. Like, how you feel for your life? Like, that was crazy. So we did that time, got out. It set me back. Like, I missed, like, 7 shows. I'm trying to currently make those up. Mm-hmm. I got 3 daughters, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm not, and a son. I just had a son, a 1-year-old. Like, I ain't trying to sit out here either, bro.
And Jocelyn pregnant
now.
Congratulations. You got another one.
You got baby on the way.
Okay.
You know what I mean,
bro?
You
got
here working.
So you think that's my baby?
We read it on the blind.
You about it. You said no comment.
No comment. That I did.
Why not just say no, bro?
That what if it's my baby?
Because what if it is? He said.
And you're probably the only man that can prove that she a real woman then, because I thought that was a man for the longest.
That's a real woman, bro. I would not be in cahoots with, like,
cahoots.
Is that the right term?
No.
I would not be associated with a man that looks like a woman. It's a problem right there, bro. You just got to look at it.
Yeah, Adam's apple. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there is a chance that could be your baby. You just don't know yet.
I'm the baby dad.
Okay. Are you?
You are.
Psych. You know damn well I'm not the baby dad.
We got more with Young Dro when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Young Dro is in the building.
Did you think T.I. was out of line for coming at Wayne?
Black lives what?
Matter.
I'm richer than a mother. Come at me. I saw this shit. I was like, I clenched in embarrassment. I was like, no, I don't like that.
Yeah, right. I'm with you.
No, that was not cool. I mean, I get it, what he was saying. Like, you know,
I don't.
He's successful, you know, and, you know, a lot of people do stuff to, you know, get the police involved. And, you know, you shouldn't stand behind nobody in their wrong. But you're part of the stuff that's happening. Like, your skin tone, it shows it. You feel me?
Yeah.
And we're not getting the good end of the stick. You know, I think all lives matter for that cause.
Because everybody was saying T.I. was wrong for publicly calling them out because they friends. And he could have called them on the phone.
Well, you
can't say that because he—that was a public thing he did.
I agree.
You answer him back publicly.
Damn right.
You know what I mean? Somebody whoop your ass outside, whoop their ass back outside. I ain't gonna whoop your ass in the house. Ain't nobody know I'm whoop your ass.
Yeah, I gotta whip you on World Star too.
You gonna beat World Star?
Nah, see, I look at it like if your friend says something stupid or something that don't
you
make
suppose
sense,
this,
but you might call him and check him on the line and say I'm gonna check you, but. I think you should reach out and call. If that's your
friend. Well, it's not a good check. That's not a check. That's a premeditated.
That's like reality show stand-up type.
That's like, all right, how many times you said something crazy and I'm sure T.I. called you and was like, bro.
But Dre ain't say nothing publicly that affects everybody. He may say something that affect him.
Yeah.
But not the whole black
life. Yeah, I might shatter my own life.
Yeah, probably call Dre.
My life don't matter.
My life don't matter. Young man, clearly. Yeah, but I saw that. I get it, but I don't get it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of stuff going on right now. I got children, and I wouldn't want my son to be a Trayvon Martin. You know, I wouldn't want him to do that. It was Arizona juicing. You know what I mean? Come on, man. You just got to understand that it's a lot of stuff going on. People, when I seen the guy get pulled over in Charlotte or whatever, that was sickening. He was just walking back to the truck, bro. That thing, you know, he was laying on the ground. That matters, bro. Mm-hmm. You feel me? If you're in a bubble, well, you can't see that. I want to be in your bubble. I want to go live on Wayne Street because it's a lot of stuff happening on my street.
Was it one embarrassing moment or something that you looked at, you saw yourself, like you stepped?
Yeah, I had like 30 days to sit down, 35 days. Mm. And then like for me not to be done did nothing at that time, it was something else going on. So I just had to... I want to go to heaven at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Look, his skin looking good. His smooth.
Teeth
looking good.
I want to go. What did I look like? Drone really last time I came in?
No,
I know why you ain't called me. Why you ain't called me, Angela?
You didn't look bad.
Where's my teeth? I was Drone when I came in last time. Clearly my teeth arrived.
This is a new Drone. Listen, it's a rehab facility in Atlanta. I'm telling you, whatever they did for Drone, Dro and Gucci, this is what everybody need to attend.
Shout out to Gucci, man.
Are you going to church every Sunday, Dro?
Not every Sunday.
Yeah.
But I want to go back the way I used to. But I'm kind of ashamed to go because I cry too much. I can't do it.
What you when they
with
start singing like...
On. You be good with your glasses on.
It be coming through tickling my jaw.
And you just be like, there you go. This.
Is it the choir or the sermon?
The choir.
Yeah.
It's the song always.
What
the
song hymn. Is it?
You want me to just say? You just want me to open?
Sing song?
I just want to know the song.
Center of my joy.
Center of my joy.
Center of my joy.
Center of my joy.
Yeah, it was the first song I ever sung in church for my grandma. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it kind of takes me there.
Get the people something. Dro the Judge might be watching.
Jesus helped Charlemagne because he's trying to make me sing.
There you have it, the new, improved Young Dro.
You want to leave us with a prayer?
Yeah. Let's go ahead.
Come on.
Oh, boy.
Dear God, thank you for this breakfast that we had at the club. Not the nightclub. It was actually a radio station. Thank you for Charlemagne for not cracking jokes in the worst way. All three of y'all did good today. All three of you. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Young Dro.
Never had a prayer like that before.
Good morning.
Yeah. This album is dedicated.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club.
Woo-woo!
Now, we have to blur out this lady's face because it's on Diddy's Revolt Network.
Well,
and Diddy, really, after reading the book, doesn't want her.
No, I think they're clean.
After reading the book, I think they're clean.
They clean now?
Yeah.
Oh, so your face is not blurred? All right. Yeah.
Angie Martinez is here.
You're
making me start me nervous at the top.
First of all, this book, my voice is amazing.
Thank you. Angie
does not like compliments, but this book is a testament and a documentation of a classic career and classic stories, and I love it.
Envy read the book, and he hasn't read a book in 15 years.
That alone is very exciting.
Yes, he read it. I'm going to tell you why he read it. Me and Angie Lee came in here one day, and we was like, yo, fam. Angie smoked crack.
I said, not only did she smoke crack, but the song, the Ten Crack Commandments, was originally her song.
See how life comes full circle?
I hate this interview already.
I need to read this.
This is going
to
be the
Envy was like, how many times did she smoke crack? Was she a crackhead?
Yo, I asked all those questions.
And she did it with a pipe.
Stop it.
And she had plans to do it again on New Year's.
So wait a minute. So this is what it takes for you to want to read a book? This is what it takes.
I didn't believe him. I said, no.
No, you should have seen his eyes. He was like,
what? It was a mistake. Oh, God. Oh, man. That's going to be the headline. It was a mistake.
How do you make a mistake and smoke crack?
It was a mistake. I mean, it was a mistake in terms of, I was a kid. I didn't know. Yeah. It wasn't a big epidemic yet. It wasn't known to everybody. So it was just another way to smoke weed or whatever that was in there.
The only reason we let you explain it is because we don't want to make it seem like you
like
really
I'm a crackhead. No, please, it was an accident.
I think that's a great comeback. You started off a crackhead and now look at you. That's a great way to fill a book.
Shut the hell up.
It was one time, though. I just want to make it clear.
It was one time, and it was kind of an accident. And I mean, it was stupid. How many? Look, come on,
I never smoked crack.
Okay, but you probably did something as a kid where you were like...
I smoked coke with weed before.
Okay, but what? Well, it's the same thing.
Crack is fried cocaine.
Okay, but we know that now. I didn't know that in the moment until literally after it happened, and I'm watching the news, and I was like, oh, God.
I was like, maybe I should smoke crack then, because I want to have a nice career like Angie.
Not really.
Is that what it did?
How was the high, though? Seriously, how was the high?
I'd say it in the book. That's the thing.
You said it was great.
She said it was amazing.
Y'all made plans to do it again. I'm like, why didn't y'all do it?
Let me tell you, all the pages, it's like half a paragraph. And now the whole book is going to be about this.
That's all it took was one bad review of crack for you to stop on the news?
That was it, yeah. No, because it wasn't. It was like a special. And then all of a sudden, then maybe it was out already and people were talking. Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
Gotcha.
Until I had, then you do it and then you're like, oh, I think that's what just happened to me.
No, I feel you. I did ecstasy before and then I saw that special, A Family on Ecstasy.
And then you were like,
and I was like, oh, whoa.
Maybe I should not.
That's what this was. Let me never do this again.
Let me chill out.
Are friends on crack still? Like, because crack is very addictive.
That's a good question. That special may not have affected your friends the way it did you, Angie.
First of all, friends. First of all, it wasn't like my friends. It was like some kids that I hung out with at my grandmother's house in her neighborhood in the park. It was just bad influences. And who knows? I don't know what happened to them. I haven't seen them. They weren't like my friends. They were like the kids.
Thank God.
They were like the kids from my grandmother's block.
Okay.
I'm glad you got better friends.
Thank you, man. Yeah, none of my friends.
Absolutely. Okay. Seems like you've always been a pretty private person, so was it hard? Because you, like, kind of gave up a lot.
Yeah, I did. I know.
And I'm like, Angie, don't talk like this.
And it's strange how comfortable I feel about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I gave myself an out. So when I started writing, I was like, I'm going to just write everything as it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, with everybody, with my family, with my, like, whatever. Let me just write it as it is, mm-hmm. and then I'll assess. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be like, I could either cut, do all that. But once it's out and you realize, like, everything happens for a reason, even that, even the crack thing, I use that as an example to say, like, I have compassion for people who have addictions and who go down bad roads because of things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think everything in my story, in my life, is for a reason. So there's nothing I'm ashamed of. And so I just wrote it and then I was like, all right.
What about other people that you're telling stories about, some of these people in my book? And maybe some of them are not going to be in the most flattering light in their opinion, but it's your story and what really happened, from your point of view. Did you have to say, okay, let me let them know?
I keep saying that I'm going to. I haven't made the calls yet, but maybe before. Maybe today when I leave here, I'll make those calls.
I wouldn't. I'll make them buy a copy.
I'm torn about it because I feel like whatever happened, people know happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying anything that's not true, number one. And it's,
but you went a little in on some people about your feelings.
But those are my feelings.
Yeah, it's real.
It's not from a judgmental or I'm trying to hurt nobody. I'm just telling you like what my route is and how I learned lessons because of things that happened. So as long as it's under that umbrella, I felt okay with it. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I hurt anybody, like anybody's life.
Did people hit you and say, did you put me in the book?
I get that all the time. I'm like, first of all, you're not even in the book. I don't know why. People that, like, I kind of know, they'll be like, did I make the book? I'm like, no, I'm so sorry.
You know what surprised me about the book? Finances with you.
You was terrible with money.
I was terrible.
You was that bad?
Were you so that surprised?
I was very surprised.
You didn't have those problems when you started?
No.
You got a victim.
Really? Twice.
I've been in that situation once where I had to go to court.
But were you already known and on the radio? And
good thing was the problem was my wife's name. So when I got fired from Wendy, she had to end up going to court.
Right.
But it was just that feeling like, damn,
but you were so popping. You were doing everything. You were on radio. You were doing every club. I was like, wow.
He was getting that cash.
And why?
Then I was down at that eviction notice like this with the hoodie on. Like, oh, God, why did this happen to me?
You didn't pay any bills?
I just was irresponsible. I just was, I had never really learned how to do that. And so it was like, you know, you get an envelope of cash and you just spend it.
Right.
And I was ripping. I'm talking about from morning to night, working in the club and come home. So, you know, my mailbox, I would check it like, you know, once every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't something that...
Opening those bills weren't important and paying
them. It wasn't.
A lot of people feel like that even now.
I think one thing you didn't... I don't think you explained it. How did you and Mary get so cool that you could pick up the phone and ask her for money? This was Mary was popping at this time.
Yeah, but Mary, you know, I don't want to ever tell her business, but, you know, Mary has gone through things in her life, too, and we've both been friends to each other during those times. I think Mary trusts me, and I've always trusted her. Even in this, even writing a story about something that she helped me, I'm going to let her know, like, you know, I'm telling the story, you know, so she knows. And I think she just, you know, we came up at the same time. So she's putting her first album out. I'm just getting started popping on the radio. It was her. She would listen to the radio, and then she'd come up to my show, and she was like, I love love you so much on the radio. And we just, I don't know, we just clicked. And then we would go out and we hang out. And then, you know, she had some things going on in her life. And we just were always, we're both Capricorns. We have like a very, I don't know, a unique kind of understanding of each other.
I just want to see the footage.
Even
of
to
Mary,
now, like, even now.
And Mary and Angie going into a check cashing place.
You understand what I'm saying?
In the middle. Why did she have a check on her?
I don't know why. I love that story because I don't, it's so her. She's so regular. She's such a regular girl. You know
By
what
the
saying?
Way, if you like, mix those two stories, the crack story and the, looking for a check cashing place, can't find one in the hood, they kind of go together.
Why of all the stories in the book, those are the two things that you are negative ass resonated to?
That's what saddens me about the book, though, because it's like y'all era, you'll never see that again. Like you and Mary coming up together.
Jay-Z coming by the office.
Before he was whole.
Listen to my album in the car.
We're not getting that.
Some of those things I just take for granted. Well, everybody knows these stories. You know, everybody knows that Jay-Z and R. Kelly got into something at the Garden and pulled the show in the middle of the show and then came up to the radio station and interviewed with me at 2 in the morning. Everybody knows that story. But then you write these stories and you start talking to people. I did colleges last week and I'm telling these stories and they're like, what?
It doesn't seem real. Like even reading it, I'm like, yo, this really happened.
It makes me realize how important it is to document it. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of stories, especially radio things that happen on the radio, they're just for some reason like not well documented. I don't know what that is. Why? Or, you know everything about artists. You know everything about videos because it's all visual, you see it on TV, but the stories that happen on radio, who documents that?
You're right.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Angie Martinez in the building. She has a new book called My Voice. Now, I was really surprised you got so personal in this book. You gave so much of your personal life.
But you can't write about your life and not share
it. Make it personal.
We know
it's a memoir.
You hated Diddy. Like, we know, like, it was just the inside.
Hate is a terrible
you
word.
You hated Diddy at one point.
You said you
he wasn't
like,
my
you,
favorite
you
person at one point.
You hated Diddy. Like,
as we broadcast on Revolt, we both have come a very long way.
Because when we worked in the other building, it was like, no F with Diddy, Ange, don't F with Diddy, so nobody else with Diddy. That's what it was.
That's a damn lie.
That's the
Plenty
truth.
Of people messed with him. I just chose to not because we didn't have the best relationship and I didn't want to ever have to fake it. And we never talked about it. I guess we should probably talk about it after this, especially since this airs on Revolt. But, you know, we've come a long way, man. I tell a story about him being super supportive during the marathon and donating all that money. And, you know, he's who he is.
But what was it about him that you didn't like?
It was just moments. You read the book.
I'm saying for people who are listening,
there were
Angie.
Moments that happened. Well, they could read the book, too.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away, but I can,
there are moments that happened where, you know, his agenda was different than mine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was aggressive about his agenda, as I was mine.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that just kind of bumped heads.
He ran up on you one time.
Well, ran up is strong.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like.
Let's sell the book, Angie. He ran up on you, and you
he
said
put
you
me in a headlock. He forced me to smoke crack.
And then we did the 10 crack commandments.
And then he threw all my belongings out of my apartment, and I was evicted. I was homeless because of Puffy.
And then you did give some of your Tupac interview in here as well.
Yeah, I shared some of that.
That says a lot about your character because I know for me, if that was me and I went out there,
you would have totally aired it
immediately. Everything. Let's go. I'm like, let's go. You won't believe what Pop said.
Here's the thing. I love that about you, and I like, and I respect different people's perspectives on how they choose to use their mics, on how they choose, because it's important to have different voices. You know, it's important to have people who just want to tell it as it is, point blank. What I've learned is that I can't bend myself to do what other people do. Like, if I spent my day trying to be Charlamagne, I would fail miserably.
Right.
And you need security.
And I would need security. And then that's one of the things. It's like there's a place for all these different type of voices. And it took me a while to really appreciate my own and want to make sure that I'm always true to it.
What made you tell that story?
What story? The Pac story?
Talked about his relationship with Faith. And you talked about that story.
That was honestly, if I could be honest, that was one of the milder stories.
Really?
Yeah. It was, yeah.
That was a mild story?
The way he told it.
That was a milder story. And honestly, one of the reasons I dreaded ever putting stuff out was because of how it would affect outside people that weren't involved. Mm-hmm. You know, but at this point, I'm starting to realize that it's part of history.
Yeah,
it's not for me to protect. I think everybody's kind of moved on with their lives at this point.
So you going to let that interview go?
The whole 2 hours?
I am at some point.
Really?
And you know what? I'm not sure where it's going to happen, but it just has to be, like, respectful and done well at this point. It's been so long.
Now, you said you didn't want to put it out because you didn't want to cause problems, but then Pac and Big both got killed.
Yeah, but imagine they would have both got killed and I would have put it out. Yeah. I would have forever,
like you feel that
I would have forever held that. Yeah. Like, did I have something to do with that? Right. Is it because of the, you know, I would have always worried. That's, I'm so grateful that I didn't, because honestly, I would have lived with that forever.
I agree with a lot of the moves that you made in the book, like, because I feel like a lot of stuff that Angie Martinez did, if I was in that same situation, I'm like, I probably would have did the same thing.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like a sense of responsibility to other people and not causing more issues than necessary, especially when something can be violent the way that it was, as harsh as it was.
It's crazy when you think about that time and how hostile it was, and how I mean, you remember, like, everybody, it was real. Like, it wasn't like a gossip blog. It was scary. It was like real. You felt like people were gonna get touched, and
people did,
and they did, and we. But you didn't know to what extent, how many. Like, it just felt like this. It felt very dark, like a bad time. It was a bad time.
One of the gems I would say I got from you and watching you is, what people don't understand is, you know how to do everything. Like, you know how to cut your
own
interviews.
She was cutting her tape.
You know how to run your own boards. Yeah. And you're real anal with that. Like, if somebody works with Ange, you got to know she wants it perfect. And people don't know that about you. Like, you do everything. Yeah. You don't let nobody do anything. To this day, you still sit over there cutting your own interview. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Angie's gotten a few fired over here for not being on point. You know what I'm saying? It happens.
But that's not my fault. That's that person's fault. It's like, you know, I can't. And I think as I've gotten older and more, like, I just can't tolerate being, like, somebody that's not good. I just can't tolerate people who are lazy or people who are not committed. I'm committed to what I do. Mm-hmm. So if you are part of my team, I need you also to be committed to whatever your piece of that is. But, like, editing, I still take pride in my stuff. So I feel like until I have another Angie Martinez next to me who can edit it and know exactly what I want to do, then I got to do it myself.
Will there ever be another Angie Martinez? Because you don't see kids doing the internships the way that we did coming up and things of that nature, working in the promo department.
Yeah, because they're lazy.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know how to tell kids to be a radio personality anymore.
Yeah, I know. Probably a different path. It's a different, like, you have to go online. I guess online. It's people that are becoming celebrities in other places.
And, stuff.
And then wind up. It's just a different path. But the work ethic and the drive has to still be there. You know, you can't do exactly what you did or I did or any of us did. You should take from it the work ethic and the drive and the time you put into what you do.
All right, we have more with Angie Martinez when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we have Angie Martinez in the building. She has a new book called The Voice.
The foreword is by J. Cole. A lot of people, first of all, I didn't know so many people didn't know what a foreword was, because people were like,
I know. They're like, what does that mean? Yeah, why is his name on your book? I'm like, come on, fam.
Honestly, that's the only thing I didn't like about the book.
And
I liked what he wrote, but I just didn't feel like.
What made you choose J. Cole?
I feel like it should have been Jay-Z or somebody.
I felt opposite. Because I think my space in the culture is that, like, you know, I have this history, but I'm also still very much in it. I mean, you can check my ratings in the afternoon. I'm very grateful for them. But we have amazing numbers in the afternoons. And so it's like, I feel I have, like, one foot in this side and one foot in this side, and which is a unique position to be in. The thing about Cole is I feel like Cole is really a student of the culture. Like, he's somebody who cares. And so in telling my story to not just the people that were there, but telling my story to people that are new and may not know these stories, he's the perfect person to kind of deliver it.
Gotcha.
To that. And he also speaks to the fact that there's things to be learned from the way we came up and the way that, you know, radio was at that time and hip hop was at that time. So it was perfect. And I think he's amazing. And it was the perfect one. I think Jay would have been, like, so predictable and so, like, what could he say that hasn't already been said in terms of, like,
we don't know. That's the surprise.
Maybe he could. Maybe he could have. Maybe he could have.
But part two, then.
But maybe part two. Maybe, maybe the second book, he'll grace me with a forward.
Speaking of Hov, he used to let you hear all his albums before you put them out. Mm-hmm. Was there ever any songs you told him was whack that still ended up being hits?
Yeah, probably his biggest song ever was Hard Knock Life. I hated it.
Really?
I did. I hated it. Because I used to love the Andy soundtrack. And I just was like, come on. This is, I thought it was like corny.
You thought it was corny?
I did. I thought it was corny.
I like it.
I was like, this is terrible. No, I didn't say it was terrible. But I was like, it's all right. Are you going to single? Like, I don't think. And of course, it's, you know, one of his biggest songs ever.
What did he say after that?
I think he just would always take opinion and just kind of take it for what it was. I don't think it was like, he's like, I'm going to change my single now because you don't like it. I don't think it was that. But I think he liked to, the same way it's like I gave this book to a few people and it's so like, especially when you guys gave me feedback, mm-hmm. people who are in your career who, it's, you know, it's important yeah. to hear what you resonated to, what you liked, what you didn't like. So I think for him it was the same thing. And I think he trusted me. And so that became like a thing that we
Are you do. At the point where you realize that yeah. you and your peers are indeed legends?
I don't know.
Come on.
One of the college kids asked me the other day, when did you feel like you made it? I was like, I still don't feel like I made yeah, yeah. it. I still feel like I want to do films. I want to write a movie script. I want to do TV. I want to do...
This book could be a movie.
I was talking about that the other day. I was thinking...
Because I could see everything as like it was happening in
like
my head.
Like a mix between like a modern like coming of age, like a Brown Sugar.
You hitting the crack pipe in the trail will be crazy.
I hate you.
Crazy.
It could be like...
I mean, look, there's love stories. There's fights. There's work. There's struggle. Then yeah. there's success.
You talked about your love life, which was surprising.
You couldn't wait secret. To get to that.
So. Man, there was one guy in there. I didn't even know you dated him, and I know him too. From,
oh, you do?
Yeah, from back in the day. When I used to work at Wu-Tang, he worked at Loud.
Oh, yes.
Like,
you dated him?
You didn't say his name, though.
Yes, she did. I did. That's how I knew who
it was. One guy you didn't say his name.
I thought you and Tip was always a cute couple.
You and Q-Tip were the first hip hop, one of the first hip hop power couples.
The first hip hop power couple, yep.
Yeah, but we were so, like, people didn't really know. No, we were very kind of just, like, below the radar, so we didn't.
Until you fought Wendy Williams.
Who knew you could fight like that?
Hold on, don't get off the Q-Tip thing so fast now. Because you know, they tell a lot of women nowadays.
What's happening to my life?
they tell a lot of women in radio nowadays, don't mix the business with the pleasure.
I mean, you know, it's for whoever. Some people, I guess it works for. Some people, it doesn't. I dated somebody, then I dated somebody who wasn't. It doesn't matter. It just depends who the person is.
It's who you like.
It's who you like, and right. it's how well they deal with what you do.
Right. And how much they
Because that was the thing
you.
With the, why I would mention any guy in there is because to tell you some of the challenges of being a woman, it's like, you know, when your man's like, what are you going to interview Tupac for?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think girls need to know that. I think girls need to.
See, I put myself in that situation. I'm like, if my girl.
That's why we wouldn't have made it.
Exactly. With a bunch of niggas in the room. And
go out there with
them. Yeah, I'm going with you. Hey,
what are you talking about?
We going. Tupac. Like, I
feel you, though, Angie, because I wouldn't want to date a guy that would have an issue with me going to do something that could be one of the biggest things in my career ever.
This is what I'm saying, especially when you're. It's one thing if you're married, and you have 4 or 5 kids. That's a different type of relationship. When you're in your young 20s and you're dating somebody who is not on board with what your vision is for your life, you got to keep it pushing.
Bye.
You know what I'm saying?
Bye.
Not that you're a bad guy, but you're not on my track right now. And the couple of relationships that I do talk about, it's the same. They didn't work for the same reason. It's like, you're not going where I'm going, and so it's not going to work.
Did you ever get in dumb arguments? Like, you'd be like, yo, Midnight Marauders is classic. Like, yo, you just saying that because you're dating Tip.
It is classic.
It's classic.
Super classic. Super duper classic. No, I don't know. People didn't really know at the time. I think most people knew, like, after we broke
up. Yeah.
Then we weren't together for many years, and we were good friends, and people thought we were dating. I'm like, you're so late on that. So but there wasn't a lot of those.
Did he lose a lot of music in that situation?
Yeah.
I don't want to say. I'm talking about a tribe music that was already done that nobody maybe even heard.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, all types of stuff. Oh, my God, that was terrible.
Mm.
They're talking about the fire. Yeah, it was. I'm sure music, beats, songs that were completed, samples, all of that.
Now, y'all were arguing at that time. Did he think that you set the house on fire first?
Jesus
that ever
Christ,
run through his mind? Because y'all were arguing. You
Angie
was
is not like that.
Angie was smoking crack in Tip's basement. And that's what caused the house to catch on fire. Okay?
I hate you so much. I really hate you.
because that's
going to be the headline on Baller Alert.
Now, it's one part of the book where you just up and left your baby daddy.
Oh, wow.
What did he say?
You
after
are
that?
Really. Wow.
What happened, but.
Let's leave that in the book. Yeah. Let's leave that
Go
for
read the book.
Let's leave that for
but
the
I
book.
Say,
but I will say I was a little bit careful of that just because family and my son and everything. But also, there was a lesson. Listen, anything that I share, and if somebody else gets into it, I'm sorry. But honestly, I've learned something from all of those situations.
Right. And shout out to Tiffany. That's like a whole.
Salute to Tiffany. Salute to Nikki. Salute to
Nikki.
Yeah, salute to Nikki. Salute to Peckers. Like, that's the good thing about this book, too. It makes you respect other people in your life.
Right.
It's like, yo, they've really been down since day one.
Yeah.
There's only one other thing we need you to do. We need you to break dance. Before you leave.
You saw that breakdancing picture in the book?
You see that picture of you breakdancing in the book?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen today, though. But thank you, though. Thank you for the opportunity. But that's not going to happen today.
There's a lot more in this book that we didn't even get remotely discussing. That's the problem with talking about books and movies nobody's seen.
I know.
You know what I mean? But go get this book. If you're a hip-hop historian, if you're a radio historian, you have to get to.
And if you know nothing about radio or anything like that, you'll still enjoy
it.
Because it's very well written and great stories in there, no matter what.
It's like a hip hop Outliers.
I love that you said that. That's so dope to me. It's amazing to feel how different parts kind of resonate with people, and I'm really proud of it. This everything I stand by in there. I'm so happy you like it.
It's a classic, man. Instant classic. A great documentation of a classic stories from a classic person.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Listen, donkey today, of course, the ex-Ohio State superstar football player Troy Smith. Now, Troy Smith got arrested for drunk driving, and cops found a little marijuana, a little weed in his car. Okay, now, drunk driving, driving while on drugs is stupid and selfish, and that by itself is donkey of the day worthy, but TMZ Sports obtained the dash cam video shot by the police officers when they pulled over the Heisman Trophy winner, and this takes it to a whole nother level. I always find it amusing when people are drunk because when I'm drunk, I don't think I'm impaired, meaning I know what's going on. I know what I'm saying. When I see people like Troy Smith, I question if I've ever really been drunk. Can we hear this traffic stop, please?
How you doing?
Good, and yourself?
I'm an officer, sir.
What's that?
I'm an officer.
You're an officer?
No. I'm great.
How much alcohol you consume tonight?
None.
Fair to say, what's your highest level education?
I graduated from Ohio State.
Okay.
My name is Troy Smith.
Okay. College degree?
I've graduated from Ohio State with the degree in bachelor's.
Okay. Fair to say you know the alphabet, sir?
Definitely, but
that's
what I'm trying to ask you.
I just want to make sure you're not impaired, sir.
Not at all.
Okay, can you recite the alphabet for me? Start at the letter C and stop at the letter W?
I can definitely recite the ABCs from A to Z.
From C to W, can you do that?
C, D, E, F, G, H, I just want to go home.
Okay, turn around for him, put your hands behind your back.
Okay, where do we start? All right. First of all, he said he had no alcohol. Lie.
The lie detector test determined?
Yes. Second, he said, I'm officer. What does that even mean? What were you trying to say? Hi, officer?
Yes, he said, hi.
Maybe you said, I'm an officer's relative. You had a fraternal order of police card.
Maybe.
As soon as you said, I'm officer, the police knew you were drunk, okay? They were just going along with you to see how good this was going to get. And it got better. Because what exactly is a degree in bachelor's? You have a degree in single men? What kind of profession do you start with that degree? Do you get eligible bachelors and hook them up with women who are looking for them? You have a degree in pimpology? Huh? Now, in his defense, the police hit him with a trick question with that alphabet thing. Okay, starting that C is a little difficult, but just sound it off in your head. A, B, boom, then start at C, and you wouldn't have any problem. But, bruh, you got stuck after I? I need to hear it one more time. Can I hear it one more time, please?
Can you recite the alphabet for me? Start at the letter C and stop at the letter W?
I can definitely recite the ABCs from A to Z.
From C to W, can you do that?
C, D, E, F, G, H, I just want to go home.
Okay, turn around for me. Put your hands behind your back.
Damn. Now, let's be clear. The cop was trying to be funny when he said recite the alphabet from C to W, because the CW was a black network that was the home of Dwayne's brothers' girlfriends in the game, okay? Oh. Y'all need to stay woke out here, all right? That cop knew what he was doing, okay? And you have to give the man Troy a little bit of props because he used the last letter he could remember in the alphabet to form a complete sentence. Play it one more time. Just listen to what he did. This is genius.
C, D, E, F, G, H, I.
Just want to go home.
I just want to go home.
Amazing. Drop one of the cruise bombs for Troy, damn it. Okay? He should get some points for that. All right? Please give Troy Smith the biggest hee-haw, please.
All right.
You got to give him a little bit of props. He failed the field sobriety test, but that was a little bit of genius. The last letter you can remember is I, and then you just finish with a complete sentence. Just want to go home. Oh. Round of applause to Troy Smith, man.
My goodness. All right.
That was amazing. Go, 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 shorty. It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a Bacardi like it's your birthday.
And you know we don't give a fuck, cause that's your birthday. You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need, if you need to fill the buzz. I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, if you're into getting rough. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need, if you need to fill the buzz. I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, if you're into getting rough. When I pull up out front, you see the Benz on dub. When I roll 20 deep, it's always drama in the club. Now that I roll with Dre, everybody show me love. When you select Eminem, you get plenty of groupie love. Look, homie, ain't nothing changed. Roll down, G's up. I see exhibit in the cutting, man. Roll them trees up. Roll you watch how I move. You mistake before I play up here. Been hit with a few shells, but I don't walk with a limp. Right. In the hood, in the LA, they saying 50, you hot. They like me, I want them to love me like they love pop. But I live in New York, for show, they tell you I'm local. Yeah. And the plan is to put the rap game in the choke. I'm fully focused, man. My money on my mind. Got a meal out the deal, and I'm still in the grind. Now, shorty says she feeling my style, she feeling my flow. A girl from what did they buy, and they ready to go. From me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need, if you need to fill the buzz. I'm in the having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, if you're into getting rough. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need, if you need to fill the buzz. I'm in the having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, if you're into getting rough. My flow, my show brought me to go. That brought me all my fancy things. My crib, my cars, my clothes, my shoes. Look, homie, I done came up and I ain't changing. You should love it way more than you hate it. Oh, you mad? I thought that you'd be happy I made it. I'm the cat by the bar, toasting to the good life. Moved out the hood, now you tryna pull me back, right? My junk get the bumping in the club, it's on. I'm with my eyes to chicks, if she smiles, she gone. Hit the roof on fire, man, just let it burn up. The talking about money, homie, I ain't concerned. I'ma tell you what banks told me, cause go ahead, switch the style up. And if they hate, then let them hate, them watch the money pile up. And we can go upside the head with a bottle of bub. Come on, they know where we be. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need, if you need to fill the buzz. I'm in the having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, if you're into getting rough. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need, if you need to fill the buzz. I'm in the having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, if you're into getting rough. Don't try to act like you don't know who we be, neither. We in the club on time, so pop, pop on. Shady aftermath.
What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy.
Hey, I'm Angela Yee.
And I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God, and we just want to say happy holidays from all three of us.
All three of y'all.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, and he came with some gifts.
He better come with some gifts. He's the richest comedian in the world.
Brother, we don't know what that is.
He passed Seinfeld.
Brother, we don't know.
He better come with some gifts. Brother, Kevin Hart.
That's all speculation. How does that
do? He has his own headphones now.
He has his own headphones.
He was nice enough to bring us some. Normally, just the host get it, but he said he's going to send 12 more pairs up here.
Brought y'all some gifts, man.
So nice.
You know, it's not just me. We got some dope partners involved. Myself, Drake, CP, Chris Paul, we all... You know, back this guy Jason's vision with these headphones. And
Drake is a partner in this. Does Apple know about this?
Hey, look, man, I'm not gonna get into all that. That's not my business. I don't know what's going on. I got no information or intel about that. What I can tell you is that I'm backing it. I don't back things that I don't believe in. So headphones are dope. It's a smart headphone. The first actual smart headphone.
What does that mean?
You'll be able to share. You'll be able to share information through the Bluetooth activity of the headphone.
So it's investments like this that allow you to surpass Jerry Seinfeld.
Brother, that's all speculation.
As the number one
I don't know where y'all reading this
comedian
stuff.
In the world.
Look, man, God is good. How y'all doing? What's going on? Everybody all right?
And by the way, congratulations on your men's fitness cover. I know that's a big deal for
that
you.
That was
too.
A big deal.
Yes.
That
as
was
an
a big
athlete
deal.
To be on the cover of men's
that
fitness.
That was a big deal, man.
Showing off your six pack and everything.
Hard work pay off, baby. You know, that's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in that gym. Blood, sweat, and tears, but I can honestly say it's dope when you see the results of your hard work, when you see things like this come up. It's pretty dope.
Talk about some more of this money he making. Word on the street is you have already made $20 million off your emojis, Kev.
No, that's... I'll tell you that.
White person told me that the other day.
I would tell you the truth. No, that's not true. That's hype. Don't believe that.
It was
hype.
Number one on the iTunes.
It was number one. I'm not saying that my app isn't doing well, but I didn't make $20 million. The app game is full right now.
Okay.
You know, it's not like I got in the app game at the beginning of it where the app game first popped off. Mm-hmm. I was a late comer in the app game, which is why I tried to do mines differently and have my face represent me and my emojis. That was my way of saying I don't want to do what everybody else has done. And it worked. I definitely had a lot of success, but I haven't had the success that people have had early in the past. Kim Kardashian killed the app game when she did it because she was one of the first people to jump in and as a celebrity and say, here's my version of it.
Right.
So everybody
she made
else.
$20 million.
Kim definitely made some money off the app. I don't know what, but
the
she Kim definitely.
Emojis.
Yeah.
And then you got the sneakers that sold out.
Sneakers definitely sold out. Yeah. Hustle Hearts. Working on a Hustle Heart 2 now. You know, I don't believe in doing things just one time. So my relationship with Nike is ongoing. And right now, you know, this whole Move With Heart movement has taken us to a different place, a different direction, where the people that I've got to invest in the vision of simply working out and being healthier are now embarking on the same journey as me. So I was at one point where I just prepared to run a 5K. Mm-hmm. Now I'm doing 10Ks, and then I'm going to do half marathons, and then I'm going to do my own marathon. So the goal is to just grow, but not for competition, just to simply say that you did, just to check off goals on your list. And I think the best part about it is to see people that don't work out, that don't run, really start to get up and get active and say, yo, I'm doing this because I want to be a part of the movement.
So
I heard the Nike deal is a $40 million deal.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I
don't know what you're talking about.
No, but I do love that you...
I don't know what you're talking about.
I do love that you do that, though, because I read your interview in here, and I could tell you're very passionate about helping other people. Just, come on, everybody, let's get up, go do a 5K. I'm doing a 5K in 2 weeks.
That's dope. For me, it's about the inspiring factor that goes along with it. You know what I mean? When you realize that you have a platform, you got to find different things to use it for. And I think in this particular case, I'm authentic behind the words that you hear. I'm not the guy that's standing on top of a brand talking about something that I don't do. I'm a representation of what I say I am. Mm-hmm. So I think when people actually get to see the fact that I'm out there, if I say we running, I'm running with you. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting until everybody comes through. You know, one day, I'm not going to lie to you, I was a little pissed off because I think I waited like an hour and a half for this one guy. It was one guy, right? He come in and he was walking. He was a bigger guy, and I was mad for a second. But then I was like, I said, you know what, man? I ran out to him. He was like a half a mile away. I ran out to him, and I said, dude, I said, if you're going to come out, I said, you got to at least try. He said, Kev, he said, you don't understand. I'm trying. I don't do this.
He
said,
me
walking.
Right.
He said, this is the best I got. I said, damn it, man. And I'm going to walk the rest of it with you, I guess, man. It took me an hour and a half, 2 hours to finish it with the guy, but it made me realize.
You got that kind of time?
No, I didn't. And that's why I was mad. I was mad, but I couldn't be a liar. You know, I told everybody in the beginning of it, I don't leave until everybody crosses the finish line.
Right.
But what I learned that day was he simply got up. You know, he was probably like a good 330, 340. And he was like, look, man, I don't do this. He said, you made me feel like this is what I should be doing. I'm out here and I did it. Mm-hmm. I want to say that I did it. Mm-hmm. It's the first day, man, of hopefully more to come. He said, but you got me to start. And I took that and I was kind of blown away by it. And then as we kept going, you keep getting different testimonials. You know, man, I'm fresh off of cardiac arrest, or yo, man, I'm a cancer survivor.
Right.
Or yo, I'm paraplegic and I'm in my chair, but I just want to come be a part of something so inspiring to give me hope. And so when you start to hear all this stuff, it hits you and you go, people are listening. But they're listening because they see the actions going behind what I'm doing.
It's got to be a part of you that goes, oh, Lord, when you see somebody coming that's paraplegic. Because you got things to do. You can't be an hour and a half every time.
No, listen.
I think it's very motivating.
It's mental. It's all mental. So when you do see somebody in a wheelchair, you know, and honestly, you're blown away.
Really.
You're blown away by it. Because what they want to be around, they want to be around that spirit. That spirit is contagious. When you get around positive people, when you get around a bunch of people that's high-fiving, I don't care if your hands are in your pocket. You don't want a high five.
All right.
If everybody's out there going, hey, man, go, let's get it, you're going to want one. Mm-hmm. That's what he was out there for.
And
he was out there.
The truth is, anybody could do it. One of my friends had asthma her whole life, and she couldn't really breathe well. She never, ever ran, and now she's about to do the marathon.
That's true.
And it all started off with her just walking and running a little bit, then running a little bit more, really slow, jogging and walking, and the next thing you know, she's doing
a process.
Marathon.
And if she died, she died doing something she would love to do.
Well, she's not going to die. She actually doesn't have... She actually doesn't... She hasn't had an asthma attack since she started running because she's, of her
somebody
running.
Just should be with her. My no, dad, got lung cancer. You know, he tried to do something stupid. You know, my dad had to take one of his lungs out, so he called himself walking on the treadmill with his inhaler. And I said, hey, man, you on your own because I'm about to go upstairs. I'm going upstairs to work out, man. You sure you good? He's like, yeah, no, man, I'm good. You know, my dad loud. My dad got the mental of he thinks he's who he used to be. Right. So I get a page on a loudspeaker. Mr. Hart. Come down here, your dad. His mom, in the corner holding his where his lung used to be. What'd I tell you? What'd I tell you, man? What was you walking on? He was walking on four. Oh, I said, well, brother, you shouldn't be walking right now, dad. But that's people jump out the window. Right. Can't get it all in one day. It's a gradual process.
Now, man. Was that in your house? Were they paid you in your own home?
No. That was me. I like to go out to the gym.
Okay.
I like to go to the gym. I like to be around people, man. I like going to the gym 5:30 because when you see those people in there, those are people that's most serious.
That's interesting. I like people's work process. So you get up at what time?
I get up 4:30, 4:45 every day.
Wow.
I'm accustomed to it. I'm a computer.
And gym every day?
I'm gym every day.
Wow.
My light day in the gym is just like cardio. All right, I'm not lifting today. We're just going to do a quick 3 miles. We get out of here. We did some cardio. But I need to know that I got up and that I did something every day. All friends know of me.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Kevin Hart's in the building. Now you have your own network. A lot of community came up here.
We don't know who lying and who telling
didn't
the truth.
Didn't get a lot of phone calls. Was kind of Charlamagne made fun of a lot of them.
Some people said Kevin Hart called me directly. Some people said it was some agent.
It's either Kevin
me.
Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, I'm not going to do everything myself. It's network. You know, you hire people. You put people in a position to do a job to help you manage the bulk of stuff that's coming in. And I think right now with the Comedy Network, you don't realize there's a lot of comedians out there. Right. I know them all, even with the newer ones that are coming up. I've personally met a large amount of these people. You can't grab everybody. It's the beginning, you know? So we went out to who we felt we should go out to. And, you know, right now I think we shot 54 specials with 100 and something comedians. We're about to shoot some more specials in Atlanta. We're doing half-hour specials. And then I'm going to go to Miami and shoot some. But we're then going to go to Australia. And I'm going to do an assortment of basically international comics from there. So this is the special realm. And then after that, I went to the Just for Last Festival and I gave out deals. You know, I had a pitch fest where people came up and pitched ideas. And the ideas that I felt were amazing, I bought on the spot. So, man, I'm really just trying to give opportunities to this younger generation. So within my network, to all the comedians out there that feel like they're being overlooked and missed, just be patient. You know, this is a startup. It's a startup network. You can't do it all in one day.
With the older comedians that you've blown past in your career over the past six years.
This guy is so disrespectful.
Do you feel like you owe them anything? Like the ones that may have like put you on shows early on?
I don't owe anybody nothing.
Okay.
I don't owe no man anything. I think one thing that I owe is it's not even a person. I owe the craft of stand-up comedy something, you know? Stand-up comedy is what got me to where I am today. You know, those doors are open because I tell jokes. So all those before me that have told jokes, that made it to a certain level and that opened up those doors, they allow me to walk through those same doors and create new doors that other people can walk into. Right. So it's my job and my service to try to create more doors. It's not me owing people. I have relationships. I know people. But you got to understand, as a brand, as a business, I have to be smart about my movement because I don't want to be here today and going tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I play chess. I don't play checkers. It's a chess game for me. So a lot of networks have tried to become networks. A lot of these social media platforms that have been created have all failed. And you got to look at the blueprint of what's been done and why it failed. Mm-hmm. I've done my homework. I'm strategic. That's why I partnered up with Lionsgate. We sit 50-50 on the board. I'm an owner of Laugh Out Loud Network. I'm a decision maker, but I partnered up with some people that make great decisions, but that do it on a higher level. Ultimately, I'm going to need those relationships. Right. You're going to need mine. I'm going to need yours, but let's be 50-50. Let's make it make sense. So I'm coming with a creative side, and they're coming with a creative side. So the people that are in stand-up comedy don't see that. Mm-hmm. They don't see what I'm dealing with behind the scenes. I got a budget.
It's a TV network?
Yeah, it's a subscription-based comedy network.
What about reaching out to some established veterans like Martin Lawrence? I see he has a special comment. Mm-hmm. Or somebody like a Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you tried to do also for this? Because that could be pretty.
It would be huge, but I think people need to see. You need to see what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to go out and pull those cards until people see a representation of what my network is. Mm-hmm. It's real. Mm-hmm. It's a real deal. It's quality. But I'm not going to go out to a friend like Dave Chappelle to a guy like Martin Lawrence or Chris Rock until they can see what I stand on. Right. Do I have the money to pay those guys? 100%. Would I pay those guys? 100%. But when I come, I need to know that I'm coming correct because I need to treat you the way that you should be treated.
Right.
I don't want to come and treat you and I'm half-ass on my side. I want to make sure that it's laid out in front of you that you see the difference. Other people want to take on. So how do I separate myself from the game?
Are you paying for these people's shows too? Like their setups and like...
I brought two stages. I got two sound stages.
So out of the $40 million that Lionsgate gave you,
I don't know what you're talking about, brother. This is all speculation. What Charlamagne is talking about, it's all speculation. We have no idea what this man is talking about.
Well, congratulations. Mm-hmm. We know you just got here from LA too for your Hollywood star on the
walk. That's big.
Huge,
for that.
Huge, yes, huge. Major. Thank you to everybody that showed up, man. Still blown away by it. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to look around and just see everybody that was a part of that. You know, and by a part of that, that's not just my star. I looked around and I looked at everybody that's really, really been involved in the growth of Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. From my friends at Heartbeat Productions, from my manager, Dave Becky. Like, I broke down. Y'all gonna probably see it soon. I was trying not to cry. Mm-hmm. But my manager, me and my manager have been together for 14 years on a handshake. Mm. There's no contract involved. Mm. I'm gonna do right by you, you do right by me. And we've never swayed. We've never veered on the wrong road. And that man has backed me and my visions for the longest time. So it was dope to see him there.
What's his name?
Dave Becky.
Okay.
It was dope to see him there. Will Packer, Tim Story, Ice Cube, they came down, they spoke, and that was special because that's a triangle that I hold responsible for the high level of success now. You know, Tim Story, Will Packer. Will's the first producer to go, that guy should star in my movies and think like a man. Think like a man, too. This is back when, you know, nobody was really looking, but Will was always checking. Will fought to get me in that spot. Tim Story directed. Me and him have maintained an amazing relationship. Me and Cube. Cube is dope because everybody that's successful in stand-up comedy in that urban world, Cube has touched you somehow.
Yeah,
I don't care who you are. Yeah. Cube has had his hand in there somehow. I call Cube a urban version of Judd Apatow. How Judd Apatow is responsible for so much comedic talent, Cube is the same way. And I said, Cube, when Ride Along came up and my name came up, Cube jumped at it. Mm-hmm. He's like, we got to get him. And there was conversations where it was like, it wasn't a fight, but, you know, it was like, all right, are you sure we're going to go with Kevin Hart? And Cube and Will and Tim was like, that's our guy. That's what we want. So you stay true to that. Mm-hmm. You don't forget that. And I looked around, man, it was just so much loyalty in a circle that was around that Hollywood star event. And it just made me realize how important these relationships are.
Right. Why is that a big deal, the Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame?
For me, it was an accomplishment because it came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. You know, it was something that was bought up and I was like, what? Yeah, Kev, they want to give you a star. You were voted.
That's
studios
great.
Voted you in and they said that you should get one. Your hard work, dedication to the craft. And I was like,
and even me as a tourist, I go there. I like to go and look at the stars and walk past them and be like, oh, look who has a star.
No, they're going
to
pee on mine. Mine's on a P street. Mine's is on a heavy traffic P part of Hollywood. Okay. Yeah, so you got to know that your star is going to get disrespected.
Okay.
But the fact that it's there is dope. You know, I'm just hoping they give me at least 2 weeks. Give me a clean 2 weeks before I walk and see some pee on it.
Because you come areas where the stars are, that's a real nice area.
I'm in a nice area.
Like, oh, my God.
Like, I'm actually in the good walk. Oh, yeah. Like, it's not like you got to go down and then you stumble like, whoa, hey, oh. Wait a minute, where we at? Hollywood and what? They put him down here off of Holla. What? No, I'm on a good street.
The reason
good.
I asked that, because you don't care about awards. Like,
I don't.
Even when they asked you about the Oscars, you was like, we do this for the... Basically, you said we do it for the love and the money.
This money is all speculation that Charlamagne is talking about. It's all speculation. I just want to clear this up that every time Charlamagne says anything about money, it's speculation. Legally, I have not tied myself to any amount that he said. I'll say this. I'm not the guy that's in it for the awards. I'm not the guy that's doing this to say, man, I can't wait till they give me mine. I don't look for that. I think that's why it's more special when it looks for you. It humbles you.
And you broke down that day.
No, I broke down. You know, man, I'm a mama's boy. My mom passed away. A lot of shit went through my head. Don't judge me, man.
Did you break down at your wedding also?
I cried at the reception. I didn't cry on the altar. The reception was more emotional for us. The wedding was dope as hell. We didn't go traditional. You know, we put our own spin on it. And it was nice. It was very nice. You know, she buckled a little bit. Because I'm major with the words, you know, when I put the romantic whoop, 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 I put that on, you know, she broke down. But at the reception, when people start giving a toast and just going down, you know, their memory lane and what they remember and why they're happy, that buckled me a little bit.
So you wrote your own vows, basically?
Yeah, okay. I did all mine. I ain't write nothing. I went off the heart.
Oh.
I got up there and freestyled it, brother.
Gotcha.
You gonna feel this.
There you go.
Now you stumbled a couple times, didn't I?
Yeah.
Stumbled a couple times.
All right, we got more with Kev Hart when we come back.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Kevin Hart's in the building. And congratulations, Kev. Rumor has it that you're expecting a baby.
No, that I don't know where they get this from. I think sometimes she just be bloated or something. People just say it. I don't know where they get it from.
No, they said that she had a... they didn't say it was because she looked pregnant. They said she had a cousin or something that was telling everybody that she was pregnant.
I was like, baby, was you bloated in the picture or something? Like, even we looked at some
pictures.
Don't
the woman want to hear that?
I was like, I tell her. I was like, baby, right here. What happened this day?
I can see why they say that.
What's going on this day,
you
man?
You want to run with me? Come run.
What's going on this day? My baby a gym rat, too. They just catch you. You know, some of the days you be in them tights. They catch you on a different side. Yeah. They think it's a pouch, baby. They think you're pregnant. Oh. No, I'm joking. No, I don't know why they keep saying she's pregnant. She's not pregnant. We're not expecting. You know, when we do, we'll know. We'll know, and you'll probably hear it from me several months after. You'll probably be able to tell because she'll be showing. But when that does happen, I'm not going to be public about it off the back. I'm superstitious. They say you're not supposed to talk about a baby.
3 months?
Yeah, for like 3 months or something. So you wouldn't hear it from anybody. Nobody would know.
Now, also, last time you were here, you talked about every time you finish a project, you buy a watch.
Yeah.
Then I think like a week later, your house got burglarized.
Yeah, I got robbed.
Yeah, for $500,000 in jewelry.
That's all speculation.
Where you
didn't
know these numbers?
I love
this,
Charlamagne.
Can I just say, if Charlamagne was a woman saying those things, people would be like, that is a bird. She's trying to trap Kevin Hart. She's all in his pockets. She knows how much he makes. Watch out, Kevin.
Listen, it's public record.
Hey, man, I don't know. Listen, I don't know this public record that he speaks of. All I know is I love God.
God is good.
Now,
how much that cost, Kev? God is good.
Bro. That's all you got to say.
We're also enjoying Chocolate Dropper.
Dropper, man. He's doing amazing things. He's doing amazing things. He got a video coming out, I heard. He just shot a video with Trey Songz. People think we're together. Like, I've been rumors, Kev, yo, you're Dropper, do Dropper. You understand, that man is his own man.
Right.
It's not me in any way, shape, or form. He's who
crazy.
He is.
He just be going crazy for no reason.
Hey, man, I guess it's his time.
You don't think you're responsible for his success in a way, though?
Hold on. On his warm line?
Hey, Kev. Hey. That's so crazy right now. I know you're not on the Breakfast Club promoting your film without promoting my mixtape.
Wow. Brother.
Come on, man.
Brother.
Don't even play me like that, man. Brother. Coming too.
Okay.
You ain't the only one dropping something on the 14th.
I understand.
You gotta come correct or don't come down and look for a check.
Okay.
Bottom line, you in the basement where everybody get wet.
Okay.
Wordplay. Think about it.
I have to think about it because I don't know what that meant.
Okay.
I gotta think about that.
You did not promote his mixtape the whole time you was here.
But that's not my responsibility. Hey, listen to me.
You're not real.
Listen to me.
You're not real.
That man is not my responsibility. He got a voice just like I got a voice. If he got a project, he should be down here talking about his project on his own. I mean, what is it, a mixtape?
He said it's coming out.
That man is his own man.
That would have been a big look.
That would have been a huge look for him.
Hey, you are responsible for his success in a lot of ways.
I'm not responsible for nothing. That man worked for his. I'm happy that he's getting his now. Listen, I'm going to stay true to me. I'm happy that he's getting his shine. I'm happy that he's got an album coming out on what do you say, October 14th. His mixtape is coming out.
Sure. I heard he got a multi-million-dollar deal because of you.
Hey, brother. Hey.
Actually, I heard it was like 5 to 10.
So is there some type of behind the scenes issues with you too? Because I would think you would have him up here.
It's not behind the scenes issues. It's that he feels like I should be carrying him around.
You
like,
should.
No, I shouldn't. I shouldn't. That's not my image.
Now we see the real Kevin Hart.
It's not that. You see the image of Kevin Hart.
You going to tweet about his mixtape?
Kevin Hart is a brand.
Oh, this fake positivity.
Kevin Hart is a brand.
You doing?
Dropper too reckless. He out here cussing and doing what he want to.
You not going
to
tweet about his mixtape?
No, I'm not going to tweet about it. I just told everybody about it.
What's the first single?
What now?
What's his first single? Are you in the video at least?
What now? What do you say? What now? What'd she say? I can't hear you. What'd she say? What now?
The mixtape though, because I got thrown out the movie. I tried to watch the movie and tried to support the special.
Brother,
I went to go see the special.
You don't let's get back to you don't listen. Okay? It's simple rules, man. Don't pull your phone out. Simple. You the guy, and it was a big phone. Ain't like you pulled out a small phone. The 7S double with the light up screen that everybody see.
I just wanted to show everybody where I was. I said, look, I'm at Kevin Hart special.
After they said 10 times.
But don't pull out your phone.
I know Kev.
Yeah. That's the problem with trying to be elitist and thinking that
they told me.
I said, I know Kev.
I told you they told me. I told you that.
He said, Kev, I'm DJ Envy first.
Kev Envy pulled out his phone out there. They trying to throw him out. What you want us to do? They got to learn.
And that's even more reason to get kicked
people
out. That's your boy.
They threw five of us. They threw five of us.
But that's
right.
Listen,
they told
I
me
understand.
That too. They told me it was a group of y'all. I said, well, do it, but don't make a scene. You just get them out fast.
Rules are rules.
Yeah.
I could see if you wasn't cool with them and you didn't follow directions, it makes sense. But that's your boy.
Yeah.
If they asked you to do something for him, why would you
they
think
had to throw
that's
me
why
out like
that doesn't make sense?
That's why Ange gets it. He had on bright colors. That's another thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know how distracting that throw out was?
With bright skin.
Yeah, you got bright skin. Bright colors, walking out looking like a safety belt. The show almost had to halt. A crew of light-skinned guys. It looked like a bright light shot through the middle of the show. That's what it looked like. It looked like a new singing group just came in the building that wanted to do a single in the middle of the show. They had to get you out of there, bro.
Well,
I'm
you can
sorry.
Go see the movie now, though, since you missed it, which actually would be fun for you because you.
What now? What'd she say? What now?
You can go see the movie.
What now?
Hey, black youngster came up here and gave us all $1,000.
Good for him. That's good. That's good. It's a positive young brother right there. That's
and he
a positive.
How much, Solomon, did you say?
$87.5 million just this year he made.
Why did he give it to you? What was the reason?
Just stunting.
Charlamagne always asks for money because you can hear how he's obsessed with how much other people make.
So it's only right.
So,
you should stunt more than him.
He's like, I'm going to give y'all $1,000 apiece.
Kevin don't stunt, though.
What I'm going to do is give y'all a piece of knowledge.
That's priceless.
Money doesn't grow on trees.
That's what we got.
There you go.
More money, more problems.
I hope that stays with you for a long time. Yeah, you're not going to hear about me stunting. I ain't giving nobody a damn thing. I have a hard time giving my guys a little petty cash when they ask for it.
Like,
they don't have, if it's not justified. Kev, you got 20 on you? Yep. Can I get it? For what? Where's your 20 at? I don't got no cash right now. Well, why don't you wait till you get it to get what you need? I'm that guy. No, because if I give you this 20, you're going to ask for another one. And then you're going to feel like because I gave you this one, that I have to give you another one. I don't want to put our friendship in that position.
Do you give him money at least for your Starbucks? Because your Starbucks does say Wayne on it. Man.
No. Wayne's got to eat that.
Okay.
Wayne's got to eat that.
I can't stand when people do that.
Wayne's got to eat that bill. All right? He's high paid. He's all right.
Gotcha.
You got to eat that bill. Okay.
Gotcha.
And now I like to get over. I hit them with the move all the time. Yo, who got 100? Real quick. Let me get 100 real quick. For what? Just give it to me real quick. I want to get the Bellman and them something real quick. I just walk away. I never get anything. That's how you
acquire wealth.
You leave that weekend with like $700 from, let me get it real quick. The real quick right here. Nelly got me like that. That's why I'll never do it again. Nelly got me in Vegas one time. Kevin, you got cash on you? Yeah, I got cash. Let me get this real quick.
How much was it?
I ain't gonna say it. Look, I gave it to him. When somebody got money, you can only remind them one time. It's a rule. It's a real rule because then you feel weird afterwards.
Right.
I was like, yo, what up with the, I gave you, he's like, yeah, I'm gonna get you. See Nelly every day. We shoot a show, don't we? Got that money back yet? That's my friend. He ain't gonna give it to me.
So clearly Nelly didn't do too well in Vegas. Listen,
no, oh, no, no, no. We just feel like you got it. He didn't.
No, have cash. We both got our head thumped. I think he feel like because we both got our head thumped that I should be okay, right? I still want it back. I'm a text him. I'm gonna text him when we done.
Text him after this. Yeah.
What's up with that $100,000 I loaned you that no, I was just walking around?
No. It's a very listen. If I told y'all the amount, y'all be embarrassed. I even told you the story. It's $50. A very small petty amount. Nah, it's something small. But it's just a principle. I want it back. I want it back.
Well, you can see the movie, the special.
They're saying this is supposed to break all kinds of records.
This is a big one.
$30 million we opening weekend.
This is speculation. That's speculation, but that would be good if that happened. That's a speculation that I'm hoping comes true from Charlamagne's goddamn mouth.
And you fund your own movies, right?
Yeah, I own it. This is me. I put up 13.8 to fund it.
Damn.
13.8 funded the whole movie. All done by Heartbeat Productions. Amazing team. The brand of Kevin Hart is still growing. The business mind is getting stronger, and the road to being a mogul is still in session.
The road to being, stop it, Kevin.
To becoming a mogul, baby.
Becoming.
Brother, I don't know what you're talking
you
about.
You are.
Let me
explain it like 100 million.
We don't know what you're talking about. This is all speculation.
Always appreciate you coming through for real and taking
I love
some
coming
time
here.
On your own schedule to come see
I
us.
I love coming here. I'm never not going to come here. You guys are good to me. In return, I'm always going to be good to y'all.
And we're going to get new chairs because Kevin Hart said so.
You know what? I'm not going to give y'all $1,000 piece. I promise you this. I'm going to get you guys chairs this week.
Nice.
Let's shake on that.
Kev,
I'm going to get, listen, on the back of my, on the back of the chairs, I can put K Hart on each chair.
Yes.
So if y'all ever turn around, people see K Hart. Yeah, right. No, laugh out. Wayne, should I put the Laugh Out Loud Network on the chairs? Let's figure out what, or the question
hear you,
mark.
Kev. Kev, he can't hear you. It's glass.
The chairs won't be here in time for the movie. Damn it. I should have thought about this.
Listen, if Kevin Hart gets us new chairs before I Heart, that's a problem.
For the level of success that you guys had, shouldn't be here. Right. So I'll correct it for y'all. I'll put the pressure on iHeart so they got to step up and treat y'all better.
Thank you.
Okay?
Well, there you have it.
Thank you,
Kevin. God bless Kevin Hart.
It's the Breakfast Club.